back, interweb friends. Stop the movie, I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, here with the entire Stop the Movie crew. Brian Mueller.
Wait, one more. All right, we're doing Halloween.
Halloween 2.
Halloween 2. Man,
what's a good catchphrase from this one?
To open say the fuck a lot.
Yeah, I'll just say, yeah, fuck a lot. Because we're lifting the...
Just be...
The ban like, on the F word, because...
Well, it's hard to talk about this.
Yeah, we can't.
There
have
is
a ban.
No ban for you. You just
yeah, yeah, there's never a ban for Andy.
I don't know. Yeah, I
lifted it
for yourself, apparently. Okay, if that was Andy Wolf, you heard.
Tell him Angel says fuck you.
Yeah. That's Andy Wolf. Cody Wolf.
Mine would be Knights in White Satin.
Well, we'll get into that. That's there.
And, that's the second appearance.
Jack Estabrook.
Hello,
Mr. Mustache.
That's the Michael Myers stabby sound for those of you who are familiar with the Halloween franchise and the normally non-vocal Michael Myers.
When Michael Myers went all Orange Madness in the movie.
Yeah.
We are returning to the Halloween franchise. When we say Halloween 2,
we mean
this is not...
the shitty Rob Zombie.
Yeah, this is the 2009 Halloween 2.
Halloween 2. Right. 2.
Not Halloween 2 from 1981, right. Which is actually a pretty solid movie.
It's good.
And very enjoyable. This is the terrible Halloween 2 from Rob Zombie. Jumping right into it, okay. First of all, I'm still angry. I watched this movie like a week ago, and I'm still angry. I haven't been this infuriated during a movie we watched probably since Lady in the Water. It lived up to the name of this podcast. I had to watch this in bits and pieces, and
like
Andy,
a mini series.
It wasn't like a mini. Andy watched me watch the final 45 minutes while I was in an edit bay doing other things because I couldn't take it. I could not just sit down and watch. This terrible, terrible movie.
And the thing with Rob Zombie, once again, doesn't understand you have to have likable characters in your freaking movie.
And
there's not one likable character in the whole thing.
There is not one.
Not one.
No.
I was kind of rooting for Michael Myers.
And the two leads are two like high-pitched, whiny girls who just shout the F-word at each other.
I would make a strong case that Howard Hessman is the most unlikable character in this movie, and he's in it for all of 30 seconds.
Which guy is that?
The
record store owner.
The record store.
Dr. Johnny. Yeah. Dr. Johnny Fever.
All right. So to start off with, my first note is we have a flashback with Michael Myers and his mom, played by Rob Zombie's wife and regular actor, Sherry Moon Zombie.
Now, as I went to this movie, I thought, oh, thank God Sherry Moon Zombie can't be in this movie because she was killed in the first one.
Yeah.
Nope.
And
that's the problem when you're married to the director and writer.
Oh, shit.
And so it's really, this scene makes no sense. It's Sherry Moon Zombie sitting there with a very young Michael Myers, and she gives him a ridiculous horse toy. Like, it's huge. It's like a foot tall horse, but it's not like an action figure. It's like she essentially gives him a horse statue, which even he's kind of like, okay.
Well, symbolism. It's setting up the symbolism.
What was that thing at the beginning that
the white horse symbolizes something?
And rage. And yeah, I don't know. I try to read it and I don't
understand. It's like where you fixate your rage or whatever. I don't know.
It's which is the exact nonsense. Opposite of what a white horse meant in The Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
I was very confused.
That is. Yeah.
And then in case anybody's
spirit
not...
horse.
spirit horse. Right off the bat, we're starting off with symbolism.
Well, throughout this
whole movie, we're gonna be like, "Oh, we're gonna have symbolism."
Is it really symbolism?
Thank God, I need symbolism
in a
Halloween
movie. Is it really
movie.
Symbolism if they literally spell it out for you?
They do. There's a line. Sherry Moon Zombie has a line where she goes, "Whenever you look at this horse, think of mommy." Yeah. I'm like, "All right, well, at least."
Well, that's the plot of the movie.
You know
it's as deep as Rob Zombie gets.
Yeah, everybody's on board. Then we don't have to read too much into it, folks.
Nope.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And then we get.
Was that scene, the first scene in the asylum, was that from the first movie? Or
that
was a fresh scene?
It was supposed to be from the first movie. It's a different kid. They didn't have that scene in the first movie. Mm. So there's a couple things in this movie that you didn't see the first
movie. Yeah, I had no idea what was going
on.
I didn't either.
To understand this shitty movie, you had to see the first shitty movie
that
Rob Zombie made. Then you might understand a couple of the other scenes.
Yeah,
boy,
there's a lot of shit to take away.
There's a stretch in the first movie where Michael Myers, as a kid, is in the asylum, and his mother keeps visiting him,
right.
And Loomis is his doctor, and all. Right. So this is like one of those scenes, except it's a different actor,
different kid. Yeah, they shot it.
Oh yes, I read because the original kid had a growth spurt and could no longer play young Michael Myers.
I'm guessing
Myers.
The real story is the original kid was like, you know what? I'm not an idiot now, and get me out of this movie.
I'm 9 now, and I can see how terrible this is.
Yeah.
We also then get a scene of the Laurie character being wheeled down a hospital hallway.
Well, yeah.
The only reason I'm referencing this is there are 500 edits, like, of her coming her down screaming this hallway. And, like, I don't, like, some, it would be like a challenge if I said, take a shot of someone being wheeled down the hallway on a stretcher and edit it like a mid-90s MTV video. This is the only way I can describe
it. Use like 24 cameras to shoot it.
I don't know why. I don't. This is... Well, for all the people who defend Rob Zombie as a filmmaker, there is no defense. This is just terribly done.
Right. Right. Because there's two things going on at the same time here. So they're picking up his body. She's Michael going Myers to the hospital, body. Right. Then all this stuff's going on. And then we'll get into it later. But after 20 minutes of this, you're kind of like,
why did
all that just happen? We'll get into
it. It's actually 24 minutes.
Is it 24?
But
you get all this stuff going on. And we'll get into, like I said, afterwards we'll talk about this part when we get to it. But you're like, why the hell did all this just happen? Did it really happen?
No.
Because you start off in the asylum. Then it goes 15 years later and Laurie is finishing up from the first movie and she's wandering, gets Sheriff Brackett, finds her and wheels her down the hall. They wheel down the hallway. Then we go back to the coroner's picking up Michael Myers' body.
Yeah, so they're establishing the end of the first Halloween. Right. Laurie Strode is now in the hospital. Michael Myers being picked up by the coroner. And it takes forever to establish this.
Right.
You know, and you end up... So now Michael Myers... I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. Michael Myers is in the coroner's van.
Right, you're introduced to two more unlikable characters.
It's probably the most unlikable character.
Are you fucking kidding me? I mean,
what makes him unlikable? You mean the casual conversation they have about necrophilia?
Right, you know?
Where one guy is pro-necrophilia, and the other guy is, by the way, not against it.
No, he's not against it.
He's starting to warm up to the idea.
He's starting to warm up.
He could be talked into it.
Because he tells a joke about jelly and jam that's very funny, so. Oh.
To break the tension of this already disturbing sequence.
Yeah.
And then... The biggest shock of the scene, they hit a cow.
They hit a cow.
That's the best part. The guys, they're like, he's like telling a joke, and the guy's like, cow. He's like, what? Cow!
They hit a cow.
This cow probably was the stand-in
Iron
for, like,
Man.
Yeah, the thing. Right. Like, you know, the truck bends around
the
this cow.
The cow, like, doesn't even move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's like, yeah, it's like the thing in the Fantastic Four when, like, he just stands in and the truck literally goes around it.
You get a sequence that I could only describe as like from Family Guy when Peter Griffin skinned his knee when he's like,
this guy goes after like 45 seconds.
He says the F word about 45 times.
Fuck!
Whilst simultaneously coughing up so much blood, I thought his
oh my god!
And they didn't even his liver was gonna come out of his mouth.
Talk about pacing
what?
Problems. Jesus!
They didn't even change the camera angle. They just said one shot. Do you think that actor was like, okay, how many times do I say it? Rob's like, eight more times. Fuck.
I'm convinced that Rob Zombie was like testing his patience, this actor's patience, like playing a joke on him, being like, I'm not gonna call God. Let's see.
It was like a standoff. Yeah. How long?
Let's see where this goes. Yeah. How long? I'll stay here all day.
This is great stuff. Great stuff. Keep rolling. Keep rolling.
I'm shooting this digitally. I got plenty. Keep going. You know.
This is great for the director's cut. Yeah. No time to trust.
Unrated director's edition because they had to make a PG-13, I bet.
Yeah. So then we go back to Laurie Strode, who's in a hospital.
Right. Well, yeah, Michael gets out.
Michael gets out. And he's fine.
He's fine. He gets out and
after getting shot
cuts the guy's head off for some reason.
For no real reason.
I guess he didn't like the jokes. He probably's like, those are really bad jokes.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not for necrophilia.
No.
He's only
probably
for murder.
Probably just to get him to stop saying the F word.
Yeah. Right.
Okay,
maybe.
This is enough.
Yeah.
So he and then cuts this guy's head off.
And then we're introduced to the return of Sheri Moon Zombie.
Who is standing at the end of the road after he cuts this guy's head off.
Let's try to explain
with an alien spaceship spotlight shining down on her, and she's got a white horse.
So Sheri Moon Zombie shows up with this horse, and she's interacting with Michael. And
With a little
Michael. So Michael is interacting with himself, Sheri Moon Zombie.
And a horse.
Right.
And at times, they are having conversations. So I don't want to assume anything in this stupid movie, but that this is Michael's psyche is projecting this, and he's...
I guess it's in his mind,
This is important to establish because it makes less sense at the end.
Laurie sees it at the end.
Yeah.
Well, right. Laurie sees it.
Because they're related and they're both
crazy. Well, right. They're both connected.
Yeah, but they can't share the same hallucination.
But they like aren't connected for the rest of the movie though. Like there's no like in Halloween.
Only when it's convenient to the story.
Four and five when Jamie is seeing what Michael Myers is seeing. It's not like that.
Right.
It's at the end, all of a sudden they're connected. Right. It's like weird. Well, and the thing that bugs me most about this, besides it being incredibly stupid, is that he didn't see this in the first movie. There's no white horse or mom ghost in the first movie. It's like all of a sudden in the second movie, he sees it after every kill.
She's everywhere. Everywhere. I guess that's not fair to say everywhere, but she's showing up constantly, and it's strange times, daytime, nighttime. Dinner time. I mean, you know, she's all over the place. Michael wants
some private time.
Mom!
Little Michael, come on.
Told you to knock.
God, how did that horse even get in here? So that's going on. And then we go back to Laurie Strode, who's in the hospital. And the lesson of this podcast, and I would say this, if there is one thing people should learn, if you put Knights in White Satin in your movie,
you're going to be on here.
And playing the whole cut of Knights in White Satin, your movie is cursed.
Yes. Yeah.
Like we saw it in Dark Shadows. We saw it there.
Knights in White Satin, yes. That's the...
And, yeah, the, and that's your
intro. Peg for...
It's like every TV in this hospital, including in the guard shack.
As well as on Knights in White
Satin. He's got the MTV on or whatever, and the music video for Knights in White Satin is playing. It's not
this
playing
takes place in like 90-something.
90-something, yeah.
Well, and I'm watching this, and I'm going... And I'm looking at him like,
wait a minute, this didn't take place.
Wait, first we're skipping ahead a little bit, but I'm like, as through the first few shots, I'm like, oh, this is a terrible dream sequence. But it goes so long. I mean, like, we're now like a solid like 5 or 8 minutes into it. I'm
it's easily the first act.
It couldn't still be a dream. Like,
no, right. At some point, it must be.
This is quite elaborate. Thought like, of what filmmaker would be so terrible as to put in an 8 minute long dream. Oh, it's Rob Zombie.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And it's not 8 minutes.
It's 24 minutes.
It's long. I mean, it goes even longer. I mean,
it's
I'd say
much
this
the entire first.
Like Michael Myers goes to the hospital. He's tracking Laurie down. She can't get away. She hides in the guard shack. The guard's like, "All right, fine. I'll get you some help." And he can't start the car to build tension. And then Michael shows up and he starts. Yeah.
By the way, did you see? There are cutaways in Laurie's dream. Laurie is having cutaways
of other
to
people.
Things that she
Which is dumb.
Really dumb.
And she may as well have the word dream written on her T-shirt.
I mean, it's funny if you're. I would not go to Haddonfield Memorial Hospital. Could you see the fucking stitches on that chick's face? Well, they look like Dr. Frankenstein was operating on her.
I did laugh because
I know it was the 90s, but they did have more sophisticated stitches.
Why did it take? I'm sorry, I never saw the first one. Why did it take place in the 90s? He just decided to have it take place then.
Yeah, he had Michael Myers in the 70s.
I didn't realize it was the 90s.
This is the first I'm hearing it.
It happens in sort of a timeless age where everything is stupid. And dirty. Like it happens in like
an everything
alternate
is quite
dimension
dirty.
In like Rob Zombie's dirty.
The first
world.
Movie pretty much starts with Michael Myers as a kid in the year I would say that Halloween took place.
Yeah, it was like 76
so like
70, or something like that.
Yeah, 77, 78. Yeah. So then I fast forward to 18 years later.
Logically 50, it would be in the
90s. I guess
90s,
that makes sense
why
Weird Al was big in the movie.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
See?
It all makes sense now.
Yeah.
So it is a dream. When they revealed it was a dream.
Just want to freaking scream?
That's when my anger level hit new heights because I was like, "This is
that wasted
time."
And I'm not even sure.
It's like that wasted time.
I'm not even sure what was a dream. Like was Michael's whole first act a dream, or was it just for her in the hospital?
Did Michael escape in the dream, or is that really how he escaped?
Right.
Obviously, he escaped because he's in the movie.
Now you're saying when did the dream start?
Right. Oh yeah. And why are you intercutting apparently the dream with something
that
you're theoretically
now,
telling
is she
me was
flashing back?
In real time.
That's another thing, because it's like 2 years later, so is she flashing back to something that really happened in the dream, but she just escaped and we didn't see her escape?
It's nonsense.
So many
questions. There's no way
to
reconcile this.
And I don't
want to
know the answers.
Yeah.
There may not be answers.
You can't.
The only answer is that zombie sucks. That's the only answer.
It's terrible. And then I got concerned because the other sort of like, character that haunts this podcast. Like when we cut to
Alice Cooper poster.
When Laurie Strode wakes up, there's a big Alice Cooper poster.
It's only a good part of the movie.
Unsung hero here. Come on.
There's an Alice Cooper song in the first movie too.
What about that bathroom? What the hell?
That was the most disgusting. I thought there was a second dream because she wakes up.
But how white trash can zombie be? Everything he does is white trash.
It's totally. So Laurie wakes up in her, in the house where she's living, and for some reason, the house where Laurie's living on the first floor seems to be like sort of a normal suburban house.
No, it's kind of messed up, though. It's kind of like...
It's lived in, though.
Well, it's messy. Everything in Rob Zombie's world is dirty and messy. Right, but at least it has some ties to where humans would actually inhabit.
Right, yeah.
The second floor looks like I'm playing the Last of Us right now on PlayStation. It looks like something from like a zombie, a post-apocalyptic zombie world. There's graffiti in their bathroom.
Yeah, it says,
I was a keep little, this side clean, bitch.
Speaking of that, wakes up from the dream. She goes into her bathroom. She washes her face. She looks up, and right written on the window, it says, "Wake up, bitch."
Wake the fuck
and
up.
And I thought, is this another dream? If she wakes up again, I'm shutting this off.
Yeah. And let's talk about this for a minute. So the sheriff bracket.
Big red letters, flush the toilet, bitch.
But let's talk about this for a second. So the
it's
sheriff.
It's like Memento. They have to write reminders.
Because Lori is living with Sheriff Brackett's daughter and Sheriff Brackett. So think about Brad this Durf, for a
right?
second.
Right.
Brad Durf. Yeah. So theoretically, you're the sheriff of this town.
Right.
And when you go upstairs to use your upstairs bathroom, there's like things like graffiti on the wall. Yeah. And the sheriff is like, that's cool.
Well, not even that, because later on when
because
Michael
they've suffered a trauma and he's letting them kind of vent their
yeah,
anger.
Whatever. Because later on, when Michael Myers busts through the bathroom door, you notice there's a pentagram on the door, and it says 666 on the top. I'm like,
what? Who would be okay with this in their home? Matt, I also had a vision of
thing I've ever seen.
I had a vision of Brad Dourif as Sheriff Brackett being like, you know what, girls, we're going to put the house in the market. Some real estate agents are going to be through, so clean it up. And you know what? Let's take the blatant graffiti down. So
I just picture Brad Dourif like going to Bed Bath and Beyond and just like racking up like $1,000 bill trying to fix that bathroom.
And also, we should note,
so ridiculous.
Nothing. One of my big problems with this movie is there is no plot. Like, if you were sketching this out as a screenwriting exercise and you were doing things like, okay, if you were outlining it and you're like, here are your key plot developments and here are your, there's none. The fact Michael Myers escaping from a coroner's van might count as a plot development. Malcolm McDowell putting a new book out, I guess, would be the second plot development. And then
Lori finding out she's connected to...
But that's
because
not
she
even
sees the
really
horses
until
later.
That's kind of a third plot point.
And
that's
I didn't realize
it.
That she didn't know until
that's
we'll get there at that point.
There is nothing happens
well, yeah,
in
much,
this movie.
It's pretty much Laurie is angry, and Michael Myers is wandering around in the woods.
Michael Myers
without his mask on,
far,
by the way.
It's been 2 years. How far away is he?
Michael Myers
He was killed in Haddonfield. And they drove like 3 miles down the road, and he's been gone for 2 years. He's walking across fields like from freaking Idaho
he's
to
like
freaking
it's like the Lord of the Rings here. He's got a trek across the wilderness.
Maybe he accidentally went to like Haddonfield, Arizona or something.
Right.
But there's so
much. Damn it. I gotta walk back.
How much of this movie do you just is just Michael Myers walking across fields?
And he's in the same town.
Andy, I paused a scene while I was watching it in my edit, and Andy looked at it. Michael Myers is wearing this big cloak. Sherry Moon Zombie is dressed all in white.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. This is a bad outtake.
They're walking across a field. And can we just talk about right now, Michael Myers, you see his face?
Yeah.
Like he just puts his mask in like a pouch and he's got, and of course he looks like Rob Zombie. He's got the big long biker beard and it's like, why are we seeing his face?
He's got no understanding what made, again, the first
Halloween. In the original Halloween...
Yeah,
you don't.
He's credited as the shape because he's like just a.
He's just an entity.
Didn't he originally
in the dark? He looks like a floating
his face
head.
Was like deformed, or
no?
He just wore the mask.
No, he's just a faceless killer. Yeah. Why is he doing this? You don't know.
He's supposed
to
be like a metaphor for evil.
You know? When he kills people, he's not freaking grunting and you know, it's so violent. the murders are so violent, and it's not what it was all about.
Yeah,
because
he missed the point.
And we see that Lori is in...
get riled up.
We see that Lori's in therapy with... I think it's
Margot Kidder.
Margot Kidder is her therapist. In a session that seems to go nowhere. Well, and
favorite,
is also wildly...
I love the, how the Rorschach
my favorite,
test
my favorite
in
thing
wall.
Is, yeah, the Rorschach...
It's obviously...
It's like, it's pretty much a picture of a horse.
Yeah.
And she's like, what do you see?
Yeah, it's so dumb.
I don't know, a cow.
It's like a horse.
Yeah, it would be a
cow. What color is that horse?
Yeah. So dumb. And we also get introduced to Malcolm McDowell, who plays
Welcome back.
Dr. Sam Loomis.
I'm Dr. Sam Loomis.
In a movie where nothing happens, the stuff with Malcolm McDowell is impossible to
If we were watching a spin-off movie with him.
This is the definition. This is a textbook example of crapping on a character.
Well, yeah, Dr. Loomis here is like the embodiment of how far off the mark Rob Zombie was with this movie.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because it's just like the complete opposite of what he was in the original and what he should be.
Yeah, Dr.
And I like
Dr.
Malcolm McDowell. He's a good actor.
He's a good actor, but in these, he's portrayed as just like an attention-seeking jerk who is just trying to sell books.
Capitalizing on pain and suffering.
Yeah, and you just go through like scene after scene after scene of him being a jerk, and you're like, okay, well, what is there is no arc. There is this is, we're not pushing this nothing is being pushed forward in this. No. Everything is, this movie is sitting stagnant for like most of its entire runtime.
And then when the end comes, he says, I gotta make this right. You're like, you don't even see an arc to where he wants. Yeah. Like, I gotta make this right. He's just, I'm a jerk. All of a sudden, I gotta do something right.
And here's the thing, by the way. He's, and there are people telling him all movie, you are a jerk.
Yeah, right.
You are a jerk. Even his publicist. His own.
Well, and
like,
it's just funny because, you know, in the original movie, in the original series, he's like the only one who understands Michael. He's the one who's always trying to convince people that Michael's still out there. And he's, and this one,
he's sort of like Captain Ahab.
And this one, he's yelling, Michael's not alive, he's dead. And like, he, like everyone's trying to convince him, like, no, Michael might still be out there because there's
no
body.
You see, that was that's creative.
Like,
no, let's
just need to,
let's do the exact opposite with the character. Let's do a flip. It's creative.
Well, I love the subtlety because as the audience, I think we're supposed to kind of understand this inference that maybe Michael Myers sees Malcolm McDowell as a father figure. And how did I get that? Because Malcolm McDowell tells an audience that in a lecture on the screen. I'm like, again, like, please, Rob Zombie, do something subtly. Like, please, anything.
And he was that way in the first movie, too. He wasn't as big of a jerk, but he had written a book about Michael Myers and same thing, where he was not
likable.
Same Dr. Loomis.
That scene where he's talking to people in that room, like, kind of, like, selling his book.
That's pretty awkward.
That really turned quickly. Like everything was cool, and then the guy's like, is it possible that he's still alive? He's like, listen, you assholes! He's dead!
Next question.
Where did that come from? Because I'm also thinking, like, okay, so Michael Myers' body did disappear from the coroner's van. Like, why is Malcolm McDowell so adamant that he's dead? Right. I'm like, what is he basing that on?
I felt like no one really made a big deal of it. It's like, the van where he was,
that
like,
cow still
supposedly
be alive?
A cadaver crash, and they didn't, and the two people that could have moved him are dead,
and the one guy's
gone.
And the one guy's head is missing.
One guy's head has been cut off.
Yeah, that's a good point,
Malcolm McDowell, like, I just don't understand why Malcolm McDowell was so passionate about that point.
I know.
He
just wanted to sell his books.
Yeah.
So I know, we're jumping around here, but...
Well, I think we're doing well. So is the movie, because Myers is still roaming,
he's roaming
America
around,
like Bill Bixby in The Incredible Hulk.
And at some point, we see the tension between Annie and Laurie,
Why is there tension?
Every time she looks at Annie, she's reminded of what happened. I don't know. It's like,
that's stupid.
I don't even know.
The same characters in the original one, or in the original Rob Zombie one, are the same from the original movie. Mm. She's Annie, the girl who gets killed in the car.
Yeah.
You know, that's her, but she survives in
You know what's a good idea? Instead of spending 24 minutes at the beginning in like a dream sequence, they could have like reminded people who haven't seen the first one what the hell is going on.
I'm in the same boat. I never saw the other one.
And what's the actress's name? Danielle Harris.
Danielle Harris
plays Annie.
She was from Halloween 4 and 5.
And she was the kid in, well, we don't even get into that because that just makes things more complicated.
It's creepy too.
Yeah, Annie and Lori were the survivors of the first Rob Zombie Halloween. So they
were the unlucky ones.
They now live with Brad Dourif, who's the sheriff from the first Halloween, and have this conflict-filled relationship for no apparent reason. Like, actually,
worst
nothing that's
is,
going
yeah,
on with Lori. Lori is a spaz in this movie for no reason.
Right.
And that is never really backed up, and also, is she will like be spazzing out, and then a scene will change, and she's like, "Oh, okay, I'm cool now."
What I don't get is they're both supposed to have survived the same trauma. They're both survivors of Michael Myers, right? Now, the one girl, Danielle Harris, is taking it pretty well. She's trying to get her life back together. She's, you know, trying to have some kind of a normal life.
Except for her bathroom.
I don't know about that. Yeah,
mine is her bathroom.
Except I can move on from this incident if I just didn't have to go to that bathroom every day.
But at the same time, Lori keeps berating her and shouting at her like, you fucking bitch. As if Lori is the only one who suffered that trauma.
Right.
And she rarely calls her out on this in the movie. They just shouted at one another in high-pitched, whiny voices. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a note coming in
here.
I felt
bad for the Danielle Harris character. I'm like, why are you putting up with her? Kick
her
out.
You can make a strong case that she is the most
likable character. Yes.
Kind of can. She's still a little unlikable.
Yeah, she's also kind of a jerk.
I think Brackett is the most likable for me.
That's true. Yeah, like Annie's dad, the Sheriff Brackett character, is... And there's a point in the movie where I realized I'm like, oh, okay, like Rob Zombie clearly wants the audience to be like, he's the voice of reason. Pay attention to this guy.
Chucky!
And I'm like, okay. I also have a note here where, can we talk about a crazy scene where Brad Dourif starts referencing old movies like Cat Baloo? Yeah. And I'm like, what 20-something is even going to get that reference?
I didn't get it.
Well, it's kind of funny.
I don't even know that movie.
It's actually a really good movie.
I do know a guy.
You know the song?
I work with a guy who, I won't say his name, but who makes references to like 50s and like 40s TV, shows and actors. And everyone's like, what do you... I don't get that. So
I'm a movie fan, and I'm like, Cat Baloo, that's a pretty deep pull. I'm sorry. I think 100% of your audience just looked at the screen like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'll be honest with you guys. I've made a Cat Baloo reference in a sports cast one time.
Did you?
Yeah. Really? No.
Okay. Because a center fielder made a catch. His name was Isaac Baloo. And he made a great diving catch, and I said, call him Catch Baloo.
Hey-o!
Bing, 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 bing!
Yeah. About two people got
and
that.
And nobody
Brad
got
Dorf
that. I was fired the next day.
I immediately got
no more Cat Baloo references. No one gets it. You're out.
You know what? More than that.
Why don't you go make a movie with Rob Zombie? He appreciates those things.
No more Lee Marvin references, period.
But I got James Cagney references to the next station.
And what happens here is, as he makes his references, they start eating pizza.
Oh,
he's
this
just talking
is
about
nuts.
Like flesh eating.
This is nuts.
And they're drawing parallels with Laurie and Michael Myers, I guess, are connected, like I said, because he's eating a dog.
Was that really what they were trying to insinuate that they're connected?
Yes.
Because they're eating at the same time.
He's eating a dog.
He's eating a dog.
She's eating a pizza.
Lori's eating a pizza. Cut. Dog.
Pizza.
Cut.
Dog.
Pizza.
Oh, I gotta throw
pizza.
Up.
So bad.
Well, let's talk about the scene before, or the leading up to that, though, with Michael Myers wandering through a field.
Oh, right. Well, yeah.
And then a pickup truck pulls up behind him in the field with these white trash rednecks, and they're like, I don't know what their beef with Michael Myers is.
He's on the property.
Yeah, who are these people?
But they like get out and they have like bats and like there's two redneck guys.
They beat the hell out of them.
And they just start beating them, and then of course he kills them all.
Well,
and then eats the dog.
He gets
back.
The dog.
And
right.
It's so stupid.
But
because
it's like
Michael,
the dumbest. Like what? He's wandering through field with mask off.
And why does Michael Myers allow these guys to beat him mercilessly?
Right.
And then he's like.
And then he's like.
And now I'll kill you. Okay. Now that you...
I'm giving you a chance. Oh. I usually kill people right off the bat. But you know what? I'm giving you guys a chance.
I'm going to give
you
a chance. Okay.
You know?
But I'm in a transitional time.
Here's a Pulp Fiction moment.
Yeah. I've got a lot going on right now. I think my sister, who I don't really know if she exists, is eating a pizza. So let's...
They try
let's,
to take us wide horse this room. Out. I can't let you have this horse. I went through a lot of shit to get it.
It would have been great if Michael Myers was on the other side and he was like imagining eating pizza while he's eating the dog. And he's like, this is tasty.
No, I was thinking it'd be funny if they kept cutting, because how like in cartoons where like Bugs Bunny would always trick people and they'd be like, yes, no, yes, no, no, yes. I was hoping that would happen, but with like them eating and like they keep cutting, but then one time they cut and the girl's eating the dog.
What?
As I was watching this too, it's like if you're working in LA and you're a character, like sort of like your specialty from like extras casting or casting central is that you look white trashy, and you're not in a Rob Zombie movie.
You're not gonna
get out of town because I think every like white trash specialist is in these movies.
Oh yeah,
and Sherry Moon Zombie is like she keeps popping. Like we're not even really talking about her, but she's the worst. Her scenes are terrible.
And there's also no purpose to her character in the film. Yeah, I'm assuming she played Mrs. Myers in the first movie.
Yeah. It's his mother in the first one. Yeah.
Did she have an acting career before she married Rob Zombie?
No.
And does not, by the way, does not really have one outside of Rob Zombie.
Yeah, because
she's like the lead actress in his newest one too. Yeah. She's like the lead in that.
It really should, like Rob Zombie, you should
her roles are
much
getting
be
bigger.
Aware of, like, your wife isn't getting cast anywhere other than your own movies. Like, that might here's be an indication to you.
Here's my question.
That's love for you.
Rob Zombie, that's not his real name, obviously. Zombie.
Right, I don't think so.
I think he had a legal
name. I think it was Dracula. I think it was Rob Dracula.
Yeah. Like,
is that okay. Doesn't work in Zombie.
Is it protocol, like, when you marry a guy with a fake, like, stage name to take on his stage name as your second last name?
Great question.
He might have had it legally changed. He could have.
Alice Cooper did.
Alice Cooper did, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His wife's name is Cooper. Sure. Cheryl Cooper, so...
And we also, there's one of the most disturbing lines, because everyone's, Andy mentioned before, everyone's unlikable. You don't like Lori. Your main character is wildly unlikable because she's psychotic. Annie is kind of likable, but is also kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Malcolm McDowell is a...
Absolutely unlikable.
If you like Malcolm McDowell, you should seek therapy immediately. Right. You know, because he's dropping lines like... At one point, he's like, I don't know, his assistant is like, I don't know, I think we're going too far. I think you're like hurting people... And Malcolm McDowell says to her, when I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you. Okay.
Yeah, and he goes right back. Okay, where do you want me?
Can't wait.
Because he pushes
her. I want your opinion.
Can't wait for this guy to save the day.
They're going to do the interview, and she's like, this is tasteless. He's like, just go in the car. He starts pushing her towards the car. You're like, wow, what an asshole.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I just started having notes.
Lori's two friends, the new two friends are... Totally unlikable.
Everyone's,
so they were not even, in the first movie.
No, they're her new friends.
They're more unlikable than any characters in the first. Any of the friends in the first movie.
They're more. I just have notes here where I'm like, Lori's a lunatic. Her friends are awful human beings. Like, I'm looking at the runtime and being like, I've got another 50 minutes to go.
You can still have like a character like Lori be confused and angry, but you can still have him likable. You can still be like, oh, I still like that.
Relatable.
You can understand why, you know, making it.
Yeah, she is. You cannot relate to her at all. Because she's not just disturbed. She's psychotic.
Right.
Yeah, We also get a long strip club scene, which you go through like this extensive, like, I want to say you spend like 5 or 8 minutes inside this strip club, which is solely a setup to have a strip club employee bring trash out to a dumpster. Really?
Like, this that's is really how you're central to the scene.
That's the way to establish that a guy's bringing a trash bag out to a dumpster is for us to spend 8 minutes with, like, the strip club owner and, like...
And I guess the only reason for the killing here is because his mom used to work there. By the way, she's still on the poster. She's been dead for...
She's been dead for, like, 18 years?
She's still on the poster for the strip club.
The poster actually says, like, home of the mother of Michael Myers. Like,
that's what I said.
They're playing it up, yeah.
I didn't see that part.
Yeah, they're like, advertising.
I just still got the poster up of her on it.
Is that a selling point for a strip club?
Plus, she killed herself.
Wait a second. How would that be a selling point? Hey, a serial killer's mom used to strip you 19 years ago.
Come on in.
This is our marketing ploy.
And it barely wasn't working because no one was in there.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I was like,
maybe we should change our marketing strategy. We should just advertise that we have hot naked women here, not that we have a serial killer's mom. Yeah.
And the only reason for these kills, I guess, would be like because his mom used to work there, so he's angry about it. And also because at one point, Sherry Moon, his mom says something about now let the blood begin or something like he had to kill a bunch of people to.
He had to
kill a bunch of people to make it come around full circle. I don't know what this
is really like. Rob Zombie crossed like the worst elements of the Lord of the Rings with a slasher movie because she's dishing out crazy cryptic advice like she's Elrond.
Yeah,
uh-huh. And none of it makes any sense.
And again, Mike, I don't know how far the Rabbit in Red was away, but he killed everybody in the Rabbit in Red and walked another freaking. Then he's walking again.
Oh, he's spending the whole
movie. It's about soul searching.
He's far away.
How far away was Rabin Red? Was it like 2 towns over? Was it in the next state over? Because I was assuming he's in the same town as where Laurie Strode is.
Why not just go right for Laurie Strode? I guess we wouldn't have a movie. But
can we also discuss why the strip club owner is the one dressing up as Frankenstein talking to children?
That is weird.
On the street?
Yeah.
Yeah. She mentions that in her random freak out.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Why is that in the movie? Yeah.
That was one of my favorite scenes because there's that scene where she's walking down like Main Street.
And he does a TV news live shot dressed up as Frankenstein and then he starts promoting a strip club.
Oh, he's on the street. That's right.
Yeah, and he's like talking to kids. But then
I didn't realize that.
Lori, the crazy girl, is like talking with her therapist. And she's saying, like, how, I saw this Frankenstein on the street, and he was saying really perverted things to the kids, and then I started listening, and I'm like, whoa.
And then later on, he has sex with the stripper, and he's like, would you like to have sex with Frankenstein's monster? And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
There's so much, because nothing happens in the movie, there's so much filler. Like, just long stretches of just filler.
Once again, ways to not effectively promote a strip club.
Yep.
A stripper who was the mom of a serial killer worked here 18 years ago and dressing up as Frankenstein on the local news and saying, come to my strip club. That's not effective ways to promote a strip club.
Yeah. And again, as soon as we get to know this guy, because you're right, they lay a lot of like groundwork on this character and then they kill him off.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
It's all build up and then you're like, oh, now he's dead. And not even... I could say this about anything in the movie. You could take, there is no scene in the movie other than Michael Myers escaping from the coroner's van and a scene coming up. You could take anything else out, movie's no different. Doesn't affect the movie at all.
Oh, right. God, yeah.
Nothing changes.
No. The funny thing about this, too, is, again, the Michael Myers character being so off the mark is, you know, in the first movie, in the original one, and I think in a lot of sequels, too, he's in the shadows and he's picking them off one by one. And, you know, like the scene in the original one when Bob and I can't remember the character's name.
Yeah.
Linda. Yeah. When they're having sex and then he goes down to get a beer and he's, you know, in the closet and he kills her and then comes up. You know, it's like subtle and he's, and this one he's the guy's banging the stripper in his office and Michael Myers like walks to the door.
He just walks in.
And the strip club owner's like, hey, what are you doing here? You know, it's just like, then he just...
He's just walking everywhere.
It's not like he's like in the shadow behind him or something.
Yeah. I mean, I watch a lot of horror movies. It's just so violent. That's all I can say. Yeah. And so really, it's just like
there's no shocking.
Because my wife was watching the same time, and she's like, "This is just so off the mark. It's so freaking out of control, violent."
Because again, like the first one he kills Bobby, stabs him once, and he's dead. Yeah. And this one it's like. Run! He's like guy for comes like out 30 his, seconds. He's
arms broken. He's like
he smashes his face.
He has like a compound fracture.
He pounds his face into the dust and then hangs him up. And then the stripper runs into his squished face. And then he smashes her against a window about 40 times, going.
Oh, that's weird. Why does she, it was almost like he's having like some sort of like tick moment where he just keeps smashing. Like, okay, I think you got it.
The guy's face, the first guy he killed, it was at the trash. His face, like when he was hanging up on the wall, he literally like a piece of like cauliflower.
Yeah,
I'm like, it's so deformed. It's like comical. Yeah,
I know. It's like the flat guy in Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Can I ask a dumb question, too? And this is not, like, a sarcastic question. I've seen Halloween 1. Why is everyone blaming Dr. Loomis, Malcolm McDowell,
for the events? I don't know. Why are you saying you killed her?
I was wondering that, too.
I don't...
Well, I think it was...
He didn't let him out. He didn't release him.
Like, what...
He came to Haddonfield, tried to stop him.
I mean, everyone's... Like, it's pretty established.
Well, I think
because
in the original one, you know, the guy says... Brackett says to Loomis, if he is here... Then this is all your fault or whatever. But it's kind of subtle, like, you know.
But, yeah.
You should have been watching better, whatever. But and then they kind of take that and turn it up to 11 and with.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, I mean, like,
you
like,
killed my dog, like in the autograph scene.
Yeah, like, I mean, a guy comes in with Linda's
picture.
This is a great scene. So Malcolm McDowell's autographing books. A guy comes up, he's like, you. He opens a book up to autograph it, and it's a picture of a girl. And I was like, oh, what's this? And the guy's like, it's my daughter. She died. You're responsible. And then he like pulls out a gun and he's waving this gun around. And Malcolm was like, whoa, whoa. Everyone's like, whoa. Then cut to just immediately like his assistant, like some ADR dialogue of his assistant being like, oh, it's okay. Police said the gun wasn't loaded. Why did the guy bring an unloaded gun? If he brought a gun, was he going to shoot Malcolm?
My favorite thing about that scene, though, is the guy who comes up and asks him to autograph it to Chet, the bringer of death.
Yeah, who is that far?
Make it out to Chet, the bringer of death.
I like how Malcolm McDowell's unfazed by that. He's like, okay. That's it.
But you know what?
Yeah.
That's the only comic relief moment in this whole thing.
Yeah.
There's no other, like, okay, we're going to lighten up a little bit.
Right.
That's
right.
It.
That was it.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie's like, okay, that's out of the way. We can all laugh a little.
This isn't a comedy, guys.
So now
we're
actually into Halloween night again. Nothing is happening.
Halloween day because we got to talk about Lori finding out she's actually Angel.
Well, this is okay, handled. So this, oh boy, did this book yeah. come this out? All, because did this book come out on Halloween?
I guess it came out on Halloween.
This,
I don't know.
This is what this blew yes. my mind.
Here we go.
Again, wait, there's wait. Only...
What blew your mind? How they got into it, or?
Well, let me put you this way. Okay, to break
I love
this
how
down,
they got into it.
Well, how they get into it, this is my point. Because to break this down from like a screenwriting perspective, again, nothing happens in this movie. You have a movie that's all filler. Your only plot beats are Michael escapes from a coroner's van. It's revealed that a book reveals that Lori is Michael's sister.
Lori reads it in that book.
Then the characters come together at the end. That's it. Those are your only plot beats in the film. And the second plot beat is handled so poorly, you cannot, like, Rob Zombie is incapable of actually delivering the information in a way that the audience can understand it coherently. Because it took me forever to try to understand. I'm like, oh, okay, so Dr. Loomis's book says that Lori is Michael's sister.
And that's the first time anyone knows.
And this because... is the first time anyone's right. made aware of it. Like, then at no point, like, in the research for this or anything, yeah. no one ever mentioned this.
Yeah, because
like,
later on in the news report...
He's got a picture of her and everything, too, in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know. Well, later on in the news report, when, like, the helicopter's hovering, the thing, you know, the anchor says, like, it was revealed earlier today that Laurie Strode is the sister of... And it's like, that was the big... Well, that's how it was revealed, was in this book.
Yeah, but how they got into it was great, because she bought a book. You see her going by a book. And then then eventually, I can't remember how it goes, but they cut to the limousine with Dr. Loomis and his publicist, and she's like, she's talking about, this book has gone too far, da, 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 and she says, your actions are going to hurt people. And we cut to Lori in her car reading the book going, fuck!
The picture of her in the book.
Fuck!
She just gets out. She just gets out and starts randomly screaming at cars on the road. Like Lori, who's already unlikable and psychotic, right. now it just turns into like
oh
the
my
Tasmanian
God.
Devil yeah. for the rest
oh
of this
my
movie.
God. Then goes to her friend's house and just says fuck about 17 yeah, more times.
Tell them about it.
The one laugh.
And then
I
decides
did get
she wants to
movie.
Dress up like a character from.
Well, let's talk about it. So the one laugh I got in this movie is she just comes in like a tornado, like. And like her friends are like, whoa, what's going on? Okay, what's going on? What's going on? So they're trying to calm her down, and she's just behaving like a lunatic. Their other friend comes in dressed like Tim Curry yeah. from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and she's like, and then Lori continues like freaking out. And the friend's reaction is genuinely yeah, funny because like, she's like, whoa.
What's wrong? Somebody yeah, die? Whoa. She says, somebody die?
Cut to. Lori's calm again, and she's willing wants to go out for yeah. Halloween.
Let's just go out, guys. Let's get drunk.
What let's get drunk and dressed up like characters from Rocky what? Horror.
Yeah. What is
yeah,
going on?
And even
on?
Her friend is like, maybe we shouldn't go out tonight because you're kind of freaking out. And
yeah, you're
kind
clearly
of
highly unstable.
Yeah, but Lori
unstable.
Doesn't. She doesn't fucking care. She doesn't fucking care.
Well, then,
fuck it. She
then you get this care. Line. My this is the best dialogue.
She says it like that. Fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck it.
Well, the best dialogue scene in the movie is Lori being like, I'm not me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Friend.
No.
Not really. Not really. You know what?
That's, yeah, that's her way of telling yeah. this whole, I'm not me. I'm not, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Also, a very poor, since we all work in local news, very poor job by the local news affiliates when they were doing all these pre-book interviews with him that they didn't uncover the fact that
yeah,
Michael Myers' daughter lives in
their house. Or that no one else like actually thought to like follow up on this or like yeah, do
so
any
not
research
any interesting
in
nuggets
this.
In your book that might relate to local viewers here? Well, yeah. His mom used to work at the strip club.
They still have the poster up.
So
I go there every Saturday night.
So Lori and her friends go to this Halloween party. We also get the line. The girl who's dressed like Tim Curry from Rocky Horror Picture Show has a line where she goes, I'm a chick dressing as a dude who wants to be a chick. Which at point, I was ready to punch my TV and Rob Zombie and just be like, that is 100% less witty than you think it is right now.
It's yeah. Tim Curry and Rocky Horror.
Yeah. It's that is not as clever as
it's
you
like,
want to think
go
it
to
is.
One of the most bizarre
and
Halloween
she uses
parties.
It as a pickup line to get some dude.
I've ever seen.
Yeah, what
was a
party
this
party?
Was. Yeah, what was this? Was this
there's some cheesy band
it's like a
playing.
Rave.
There's like strippers and
I know, yeah, but you got boobs all over.
This
and...
just looked to me like what Rob Zombie's like dreams are like.
Yeah.
You know,
had
just
to be.
Like bad bad country rock music, like rock, I don't know. Like
rockabilly what, and...
like yeah, bad and, rockabilly music and topless and strippers girls, and yeah. Everyone's dirty. Fake like, everything's just dirty,
yeah. Like, I mean, I could see a party like that existing, but, I mean, it didn't really seem like a high school party.
Right. It's yeah. Kind of in the middle of town. Yeah.
I also liked, you can tell...
And there's some guy who's supposed to be like a local radio DJ, right?
Yeah, he's like emceeing it,
giving away awards and stuff.
And I... You know that Rob Zombie is a musician. And how do you know Rob Zombie's a musician? Because the audio quality of this band playing at a rave is crystal clear. This is like Rob Zombie chamber down, like, this is how music should be heard. Right. You know, they need this band playing at a rave should have perfect soundboard quality.
We don't
want to
hear
audio.
A live element at all. Yeah.
The acoustics in this tent are incredible.
I was like, okay, what a jerk.
And now this is and this is the most pointless scene in the whole movie, because the chick who's dressed like a chick who wants to be a guy but is a chick something takes a guy who's dressed like a wolf out in the van.
I have a page of notes on what happens over the course of 45 seconds, including his pickup line, which is incredible, being
like, this man's genius.
Hey, I've got drinks in the van. And there's no roofies in them. Why would you say that? That's pretty concerning.
I know. I'd
don't
be like,
say there
wait
are
a minute.
Roofies.
Wait a minute.
Introducing the idea of roofies.
Why
into
would
the...
even plant that idea in my head?
Why would you feel the need to explain?
Usually, I wouldn't put a roofie in there, but
not for you, baby. You're special.
That's like saying we can have sex and it'll be great because I don't have any STDs.
Yeah, I know.
Gonorrhea, get out of here.
Oh, my God.
We can go back to my place. I don't kill people.
Yeah.
And any time in a horror movie that a character, before having sex,
I don't live
has,
with my mother.
I have to go pee.
Well,
you know.
So, can we talk about what happens before he actually goes to pee? So he's kind of hooking up, the guy in the wolf mask is hooking up with the girl, the Tim Curry dress-up girl, and he's like, oh, I got to go pee. And she's like, maybe I wanted a golden shower.
Yeah, that's such a flashback.
And then he just goes... That's gross. I laughed for like 30 seconds at that.
Who do you think I am, Nicole Kidman?
At least.
The self-awareness of that, like, I almost feel like that was like, I'm not going to like play into that.
I wish this movie had been made after The Paperboy so they could have taken a shot in it. Like, so I was watching The Paperboy the other day and I got a crazy idea.
Zac Efron.
He goes out to take a piss, of course gets killed, and of course the girl in the van gets killed for no reason.
Right, we need to talk about this.
No reason.
What is Michael Myers doing
motivation
at this party?
He why, just hates like, people.
What I'm saying.
Sex. He doesn't want anyone to have
there's
sex.
There's no reason for him to be there. There's
or
no
fun.
Reason for him to kill these two. Other
he's
than
anti-sex.
I gotta make. I gotta spill blood. I guess it was the mother's side. But
why
it's not
he
like
there?
He knew they're. He didn't know that they were friends.
No.
Didn't know that they were at the party.
Didn't know they were at the party or any of that.
Because Laurie is at the party, but Michael Myers is unaware of that. So Michael Myers, for no reason, stopped by this party, killed a few people, and continued walking on.
Right.
Okay, that's...
He's like, listen, Mom, I got to stop the party real quick. Five minutes. Just got two people I want to kill, that's all. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, honey, go ahead.
Yeah.
And then, another question is, how the hell does he know where freaking Annie and Laurie live?
Because he has a connection.
Well, yeah.
That's a great question. I don't know.
He shows
like
up at their house.
In the middle of the country. Like, all of a sudden, this is like a country.
Yeah.
Like a thing. Like, yeah.
Road. Yeah, and he just, like, shows up to the house.
How does he know where to go?
I have no... Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because at this point... The ghost of Sherry Moon Zombie, I guess, is, because like,
she's at the party. She didn't follow him. He didn't follow her because she's at the party.
Yeah. He can use his spider sense to find Laurie Strode.
I was really... There's a shot in here, by the way, where... So I'm going crazy with the whole, like, Lord of the Rings thing. There is a shot with the little Michael Myers, like, the big Michael Myers in Sherry Moon Zombie, where it looks like the little Michael Myers is a hobbit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, they've got to get the ring to Mount Doom.
So, yeah, so...
So she has
Brackett reads the whole book, I guess, in an hour.
Oh, no.
Oh, when did he read the book?
He realizes that...
He's like, oh,
that this is going to get out that... Laurie Strode is actually Angel
Myers.
Yep. Which, again, I didn't realize that she didn't know at this point. So he sends one of his cops over to his house to watch her.
Can I ask a
quick question? To protect his daughter.
Yeah.
So in the first one, there's nothing about her being his sister?
No, there is.
There is.
There's a whole...
She never knew.
She doesn't
know.
And let's talk about this.
And the sheriff didn't know?
Yeah, he knew.
The sheriff knew, yeah.
Yeah, he knew.
Which, by the way, so, again, in the world of this movie... Michael Myers' body has disappeared for 2 years. Obviously, there's real questions about if he's dead or alive. And no one thought to say to Laurie, hey, by the way, that serial killer who we don't know if he's dead or alive, also, he's your brother.
Right. You might want to go into witness protection
just,
or...
Just file that under things you might want to be aware of. Right.
Loomis was saving it for his book that he's going to write 2 years later.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy crap.
I have exclusive rights to release the information of Angel Myers' true identity.
Yeah. At an hour 30 in this movie, our main character, Laurie, becomes aware that Michael Myers is alive. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That is incredible storytelling. Not even the thing that you can stretch with filler to that point, that you've now gone 90 minutes without your main characters being aware that the other is alive or on the planet with them. Incredible.
So so Michael Myers shows up at Brackett's house before Laurie comes home. He kills the deputy who was there watching Annie. And then he goes in and he kills Annie.
Well, this could be confusing to some people who don't understand.
Because the second time she got brutally massacred.
Bizarre movie making, but because, it's so confusing just at first sometimes, because they do that inner cutting thing where they don't show Michael Myers killing Annie. And then Laurie comes home and as she's walking, she's like, oh, look, blood. And all of a sudden you cut to like the murder. And then it cuts back to them like going in another room and then it cuts back to the murder. And you're like, at some point you're kind of like, is this far? This is weird.
It's gimmicky. I don't like it.
It's just,
I gave up. I had bailed on it at this point. I was just editing my own stuff. Which was just kind of playing in the background by now. I couldn't. My notes look like crazy person ramblings at this point.
Yeah, it looks just like Lori.
Yeah, it looks like something Lori would have written. Right. Yeah.
So then Lori comes home and she sees the blood and they do the inner cutting thing. It gets confusing and then her blonde-haired friend gets killed brutally.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't go after Laurie yet. Oh, he does. Okay, he does afterwards. But Annie's in the bathroom dying. And
in there. What a terrible place to die.
Watching that it's like bathroom. I watched it with my wife the first time. We went to the drive-in, actually saw it. Actually paid money to see the stupid thing.
I tried to talk him out of it.
Terrible. I know, but it's like, it's a drive-in. I'm like, I'll pay the $6. And my wife was like, this is... just terrible. It's terrible because it's like this moment of heart-wrenching crying. And, don't die, Annie. It's like, this is a horror movie. I don't want to see this in a horror movie. Just be like, she's dead and run. That's what you do in horror movies.
And then they took it one step further.
Okay,
I'm sorry, continue.
No, go ahead.
No, when Sheriff Dourif discovers...
There's another moment.
Sheriff Dourif discovers his dead daughter, they start cutting to actual footage of a six-year-old Danielle Harris in home movie footage.
What the hell?
Which is clearly footage owned by the Akkad family, like from behind the scenes. Yeah, I think I was going to say it's like behind the scenes.
And they're like playing this subtle piano music, like we're supposed to care about this character. I didn't see the first movie. I understand what they were trying to do, but as a non-viewer of the first Rob Zombie Halloween, and I'm watching this movie, this character who had like 6 lines, you feel kind of bad for her because Laurie Strode are like crap, gets murdered. She gets this poetic send-off. Every other character, it's just, I'm going to mutilate your body and blood's going to spray everywhere.
Well, because that's what in a horror movie you do. You kind of like, they kill them off and they're like, you find them there. You're like, oh my God, she's dead. Oh no. Ah, and then you run.
Right.
Because you don't want to get this whole heart-wrenching thing with your audience.
You don't have time because the killer's in the house.
I don't want to be sitting there being like all tore up by it. I don't want to be crying in a freaking horror movie.
Yeah.
It's the new age horror movie. You show home tape from from their child days of everyone who dies.
Yeah.
So this is when Michael Myers busts through the door with
the
pentagram, the 666.
In memoriam.
And she jumps out the... What'd she do? I forgot. I looked away.
She, like, jumps out the window.
Jumps out the window or something, right?
Then she runs away. She gets in a car.
And you're like, you know what's going to happen here. You get in the car, the guy's like, it's going to be okay. Obviously, he's going to get killed.
Well, and this is a great scene, too, because Michael Myers catches up to the car that Laurie's in. He kills the guy. Great scene in a bad way.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
By the way, I'm pretty sure the guy driving the car was the same guy from the party who was emceeing the party.
Oh, that might be.
I think it was the same actor. I don't know if it was supposed to be the same character, because that guy was way too drunk to be driving anywhere.
Oh, no, it might be.
Well, so...
I mean, it could be, but it was way too drunk.
We do not condone that here.
No, because this character...
Wait,
the character,
that thing, I definitely look like a guy.
Because the character who picks her up isn't, like, drunk and, like...
Wait. That's the logic question we have with this movie?
I'm just saying. I don't know if it... Or if he just said, hey, we have you play this other character, too.
You know how stupid this movie is? I could totally see a scene like that where the party's over and the guy's trying to drive. Like, whoa, man, you're way too drunk to drive. You're going to need a DD. Thanks, man. Appreciate that. Cut to back to Mike Myers walking to the countryside.
So Michael Myers catches up to the car, kills the driver. Lori's in the car. And
you know what Michael Myers doesn't want to do?
You don't just want to pull Lori out of the car. That's ridiculous. You're going to flip the car roll over
and then pull her out.
And pull her out where the car magically catches on fire.
Oh, it explodes.
For no, like, what? What possibly,
it rolls over once.
It rolls over once slowly. There's no fire. Slowly. And
he
then
he pulls
is
her out
fire.
And is walking away, and then the car, I think, literally explodes.
I mean, every time I go to rollover for work, they catch on fire. Right. What are you talking about?
If you, that's why you want to get there early.
You know how explosions I've had to die from?
Yeah, you don't want. That's funny. Because if you there's a candle inside cars, and if you hit the gasoline, if it's going to go. Yeah, it's right there.
And on a regular basis, is running away from cars and making a last second dive as it explodes.
Yeah. And now, all semblance of anything sensical goes out the window, because now Lori can see the ghosts of Sherry Moon Zombie and young Michael Myers.
Shadow
maybe
Fangs
the horse
and Galadriel
too.
Frodo.
Yeah. She's seeing and interacting with them as well.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, and at this, I have a note in here. I'm like, wait, are the kid and Sherry Moon Zombie real? Because they're not real, but there are now.
They must be ghosts, not hallucinations.
Conversations going, yeah. This.
What did they even want from her? Before the cops get there, it's funny because Sheriff Brackett is, I think, on his porch or something, or he's at the station.
Yeah, he's like smoking a cigar.
Oh, yeah, this car was great.
And the one the woman comes out. Is that what you're talking about? So a woman comes out. She's like, Sheriff, we just got a 911 call. He's like, okay, did you dispatch somebody?
Yeah.
And she's, I can't remember what else she says. But
she goes, Sheriff, we got a 911 call. He's like, did you dispatch somebody? Yeah. She's like, yes. And he's like,
right.
Okay,
and then she waits more. It's like, it's at your house. Why would you come and say, Sheriff?
He's like, so what are you coming to me for?
Right, that's what it was.
It's at your house. Like, why didn't you just say that in the first place? You can come out and say, Sheriff, a 911 calls in from your house.
Yeah. There's like two, three pauses there.
Yeah.
Sheriff, I got a 911 call.
Sheriff, I got a phone call. Okay, it was 911. Okay.
Actually,
I dispatched
there
one.
There was a stabbing.
Great.
Actually, you got to go back and forth. Sheriff.
It was a phone call. Yes, you said that.
Sheriff, the phone rang. Did you answer
it?
I picked up the phone. Did you say hello? I did say hello.
I said, what's
like
your emergency?
Rob Zombie saying, like, how many lines can I squeeze in here? Hey, Sheriff, how's it going? Not bad. How are you? Anything new? Nope. You? What? Got a phone call? Really? What happened? I answered it. Did anyone say anything? Yeah. What
they? They said there was an emergency.
Oh, by the way, your daughter might be dead. Yeah.
And mixed right in here, there's an edit at this part of the movie that made me laugh out loud for 20 seconds. So all of this insanity is going on. And meanwhile, cut. Malcolm McDowell just sitting in a hotel room
staring
watching
at the
cable
TV.
Yeah,
yes.
And this is the quickest.
Apparently he's down the road. He's not even knowing.
He's sitting in a hotel.
This is the quickest.
And with a blank look on his face. Like,
this is the quickest character
watching,
turn,
like,
too.
The
it's like
food channel.
The whole movie, he's the same character, jerk, jerk, jerk. And then this scene, he's like, drink. He's like, I shouldn't be a jerk anymore.
Yeah,
and then he sees the report. He's like, I'm going to go down there.
And he's at the Super 8 down the road.
Yeah.
He's literally 3 minutes away.
And did you hear what they said on... We talked about this when we were watching it. In the cable news report, police are in a standoff with a deceased man. What? What?
And Bilbo Baggins again.
Police are in a standoff with a
deceased
man. All right. You know.
No, even the reporter's like, I can't believe I'm saying this. And my career might be over after this.
Yeah.
Hey, I also love the scene... So after the sheriff and all of them go, we already kind of covered this, go back to his house and find a daughter murdered. But then, like, Dauber one of the, like, the deputies is like, oh, sheriff, there's a standoff in a cabin about 3 blocks away. There's a huge police presence there. And he's just like, yeah, all right, why don't you go? We'll go check that out.
Wait, there's like, there's this weird one. He's like, all right, let's go. And then he's like,
they may or may not have your daughter.
You want me to handle my...
They may have your daughter. And he says something like to the other deputies, like, I think you should drive.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, okay.
I've got a little too much to drink.
I'm like, that's just a really odd detail. Like, I don't think anyone at home is like, I wonder how he's going to... Yeah, who's driving? Who's going to drive?
What radio station are they going to listen to?
So,
is it a manual or an automatic transmission?
So it comes down to Michael Myers, Sherry Moon Zombie, young Michael Myers, and Laurie are in a cabin about the size of an outhouse. Just
it's a shed.
Yeah, was this supposed to be the Myers home? I didn't get
it's
this.
It's just a shed.
It's the cabin. So you just picked a random shack.
Yeah, it's just essentially, luckily, all of those characters are realizing that the movie they're in needs a finale. Yep. You know, and
an old dilapidated shed because there's plenty of holes in the roof, so the
dramatic
lights,
light from
the
helicopters,
the
cop flashing lights. So. Yeah.
Why did everyone need to be in the same place, Laurie and the Myers family? Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
What was the plan?
The whole thing, I guess to defend, not to defend him, but I guess the idea is that Laurie now, because she's been having dreams awake about Michael's and young Michael and the mother, and so she's connected somehow. So now her mind is snapped, and she is now being held down by young Michael Myers. So
now her mind is snapped.
Yeah, so she's seeing the same thing Michael is because they're family, I guess. So.
I don't. Well, and in the midst of this, so they're in this standoff, and which Malcolm McDowell just walks up to. He walks up to it.
My favorite thing. He's like, get him out of here.
They go, he walks up to the scene, and Brackett sees him. He's like, punches him, and he's like trying to beat him up because he's angry because it's his fault or whatever. And he's like, get him out of here, get him out of here. So he walks away.
And then you see him running.
How did he get past the police jacket?
He's walking away, and they cut to him.
And he's like at the front door of the cabin.
Yes.
And I'm like, wait, what's that? How did he get there?
This is hilarious.
He would have had to have passed through like 20 police people to
he's
get
a
there.
Slippery son of a bitch.
Well, you see him run like, past. He's like, it's okay. I'll leave. And then he walks up to the cabin, and all these cops are like, hey, he didn't do what he told us he was going to
do. You can't do that.
But it's like not only does he get by everyone, he's like 50 yards from where he was 2 seconds ago.
Yeah. And no one notices until he's literally like at the door.
Nobody takes him down.
There's literally like 100 police cars and helicopters.
I think in that one scene, you see him kind of flash past them, though. I think you see him running.
I do. I'm going to watch. Was he like the Flash?
I remember Brackett turns around and also you see like back here like a... It's a quick guy run by. I'm telling you. I'm gonna show you.
If that is true,
I'm bringing it
to you.
Better be the screen grab.
You see, go.
I'm gonna laugh.
I'm almost
so
positive.
Hard
yeah, I'm gonna
true.
See that. I'm almost positive. I'm gonna do
that. Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
then his arc is complete because now he's like.
What are
I got to do something right, you know. So
is he Russian?
Scottish.
More Scottish.
I've got to do something right.
That was Scotty, I guess.
All right, I'll leave.
The dilithium crystals.
I'm just gonna talk to Michael.
I cannot change the laws of physics, Captain.
Get out of the cabin.
Do something right.
So he walks.
Myers. Yeah.
He walks into this crazy cabin where Laurie Strode is like. Having like an epileptic fit, being held by no one. Michael Myers is just standing there. Malcolm McDowell's screaming at Laurie, like, it's all in your mind.
There's
no one
there. It's all in your mind. Yeah.
And then.
Because he keeps saying he's holding me down. So.
Well, because he's like, he goes to Michael. He's like, she's coming with me, Michael.
Yeah. I'm
he's like, come on, Laurie. And she's like, I'm holding me. And he's like, there's no one holding you.
Why don't you just go over and grab her then?
Right. With this lightning speed.
I know. Michael Myers is like, what?
That's what he should have said. He should have said to Michael, okay, don't worry, I'm going to leave.
And then go over and grab her. That's right.
All right, I'll just be leaving now. Nothing to see here, Michael.
Michael, your super strength is no match for my super speed.
So how does this even... So, I don't even remember how this wraps
he's
up.
He's yelling at her. She's writhing on the floor, and it cuts to outside the cabin.
Outside shots of
and it's like
shots.
Everything goes silent. And then Michael and
Loomis
burst
out of the cabin.
Bursting through the wall.
Okay.
And come tumbling out, and he picks him up and...
Kills him.
And he's like takes off his mask and he goes, die. And
yeah,
he
takes off
him.
His mask, which is dumb.
Yeah.
And he says something, which is dumb.
He says something, right. Which is dumb.
And he stabs him. And then Laurie comes.
Well, then they shoot the hell out of Michael.
Like from 20 different angles. Right.
And
like
of course,
47.
Another thing, when you get shot and you're standing up, you don't fall down until that last bullet hits you.
Yeah.
And you don't fall down until they're done. Oh, you're done. Okay.
All right, now you go down.
And then Laurie walks out of the cabin holding a knife, and for no reason they shoot her.
Picks up the knife and goes over to Loomis.
Who's already dead.
Presumably.
And she makes no threatening moves, and they shoot her for no reason.
And they do... Okay, so the police...
They gun her down. Yeah, literally. Literally, like she walks out of the cabin. She walks out of the cabin.
No one got the memo
she
that
picks
that was
up
the
a knife.
Sheriff's adopted daughter.
Yeah. She picks up the knife. She wanders over to Loomis. She looks at Loomis's dead body. She just kind of keeps walking, and they gun her down.
In what world do police shoot the daughter of the sheriff?
And they didn't... There was no reason for them to
at least
shoot her.
At least
no.
She
raise a knife or anything. Just like,
I mean, it is kind of dumb that she's holding a knife, but...
At least Brackett can repaint his bathroom now.
Finally clean up that house.
Yeah.
And now we get
White
Love
Hurts.
Next one
again, right? Oh, no, Love Hurts. That was
Love
it. Was
Hurts,
Love Hurts.
Which, again,
Hurts.
Just wanted to... Oh, I really was so
well,
angry.
This whole thing was filled with 70s music.
I actually like that song.
I do, too.
It's
like
a good
song,
but its use in
this
movie
is
dumb.
The best part of the movie.
This use is terrible. And I don't know if this is in the theatrical or if this is just in the extended cut we watched, but we now cut to... This long tracking
it was in the
shot.
Theatrical.
This
was.
Is in the theatrical.
Yeah, it was.
Well, now that's even
no, yeah,
stupider.
I remember it was in the my sock.
We get this really long tracking shot going down a long hallway. Long white hallway, which Rob Zombie even manages to mess this up by having to do a dissolve within this really cool long tracking shot.
And
if I was his cinematographer, I would have been like, that's it. Don't speak to me again. The one cool shot we had in the movie, you ruined by having to dissolve it.
Yep.
And
then Lori's like alive again, and she's like sitting.
No, I don't think she's alive. I think it's like.
Her heaven?
Her afterlife.
Oh, I thought she was
dying
alive.
Moments or something.
I don't know what the hell it was.
I don't know what this was. And
they're not implying like a third one. Like she survived and she's going to go crazy.
It looks like she has like a psychiatric.
No, I think she's alive.
It was like the ending of
right,
Psycho.
They make it look like, yeah. Well, that's what I thought. He's trying to rip off Psycho. Definitely trying when the close up when she's looking up. I was like, okay, that's a Norman Bates rip.
So she survived
the
hail of gunfire.
I was waiting to see the skull come up, you know, like did in Psycho.
Well, then she sees.
The white horse,
Sherry Moon Zombie, and the horse. And I'm like, Andy was with me when this was going on, and I'm just like shouting at Amanda. I'm like, the horse is back? Really? Like, this is your ending. The horse is back in the movie.
All symbolism.
No, it's a metaphor symbolism. For the hoarseness of the audience screaming at the screen to make the movie stop. Ha.
It's terrible. I mean, in summary,
I've been thinking that one all week.
I'm cutting that one out.
I think this all is.
Let's go back. Yeah. So it's kind of like the ending of Psycho.
Right, yeah.
Got ourselves covered.
I thought this was one of the worst movies we've done in the show. I mean, for me, this is right up there with the Shyamalan's.
It is. Yeah.
I was appalled
because
it
angers
how bad
you.
It was. Yeah.
You get done watching, like, well, I don't know why I just watched
it. I didn't get angry, though, until I remembered the original Halloween movies. Like, at points, it didn't feel like a Halloween movie. It just felt like another Rob Zombie movie, which, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But then I would remember, like, oh, wait, Michael Myers isn't supposed to have his mask off and walk around fields. And
did
that's
anybody,
not like, wait a minute.
Did anybody look at how what its Rotten Tomatoes rating was? No. Anybody have a look at that? I was amazed. Like, its Rotten Tomatoes rating is, like, at, like, 25 or... I mean, it's in the 20s.
Rob Zombie has a built-in fan base that will like his movies only because he has his name on it.
This
I think I'll get horror movie people who like it just because it's a horror movie.
I guess.
And you so get brutal. That group too.
There's a loud group like
the Fangoria group.
Stuff. They like the violent, you know.
I
the
guess.
Fangoria
this
group.
Is so much worse than like One for the Money or One Missed Call right. or like, I mean, One Missed Call was a masterpiece compared to this
yeah.
movie.
Anybody who liked the original Halloweens is not going to like this. There's no class.
Anybody,
original Halloween
any,
has class. There's
anybody
class
who likes
movies.
Movies
no
isn't going to like this.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no class.
I think the only two saving graces for me where I really like Brad Dourif, just in general and in these movies,
yeah,
and I to an extent like Rob Zombie's visual style, Like, I thought there were some cool shots and some cool lighting and stuff.
Well, I was just saying, like, with the first Halloween he did and this one, I bought this one because I remember the first one I liked. I did like the cinematography in there.
I thought the first... I didn't like the first one, but it had some shots. Style.
Yeah, I think it's the editing that really screws it up.
Though. Yeah.
Because I think the visual style is good. The editing is so quick. And the pacing
and the characters. And
the characters are the worst part. I mean, it's the storytelling.
It doesn't suffer from its visual angles, no. Yeah.
No story.
We're not going to do a So Wrong, It's Right question this week, but I did want to tell a funny story I heard this week. Do any of you guys know the actress Natasha Lyonne? She was in like the American Pie movies, Moms of Beverly Hills.
Yep.
So pretty famously, in the mid-2000s, she had her drug problem spiraled wildly out of control. And she went from having a drug problem to just basically being like a junkie. Like, you know, arrest warrants out for her and all of this. So she was talking about this on Mark Maron's WTF podcast. Wait, was it WTF? Yeah, I think it was WTF. And in the midst of this, like, she's a straight-up heroin junkie. Rob Zombie kept actively calling her, trying to cast her in The Devil's Rejects.
Really?
I mean, as she's in the midst of, like, arrest warrants, junkie, like literally living on the streets, Rob Zombie kept, like, trying to find new ways for her to be in Devil's Rejects. I'm like, that really says a lot, about Rob Zombie's decision-making process.
Right. Yes, it does.
You know, like, that's...
He wanted a Devil's Reject.
Yeah, he wanted,
That's just awful. Quick summary. I hated this movie. I don't even want to talk about this movie anymore. Andy owns this movie, and I want to smash his disc so it doesn't. It's not.
Well, it's another one of those perfect Tim things too. He goes to see the movie. He comes back. He goes, "Oh my god, that was one of the worst movies I've ever seen." Then 6 months later, he buys it on DVD.
Somewhere, Rob Zombie is sitting in his house now,
$8,
like throwing money in the air. And
you
pay
to see
it
at theater
money.
And paid to own it.
I just imagine
to go to the drive-in, not the theater.
That money still goes to Rob Zombie.
And I bought it on DVD.
$8 on DVD.
When Rob Zombie makes another movie, it's because of you.
I got all the Halloweens. I said, I got all the Halloweens. I do like the visual style. I do like the cinematography. Like with the original Halloween, I got that for Christmas though.
Don't compare the visual style.
Original. The first Rob Zombie.
Halloween 1-1.
Right.
Or 1-2.
I got that for Christmas, but I did like. Oh, I like the visual style of it. I like the shots and the cinematography. So
I should say too.
So I bought it, $8.
At one point in time, after this movie came out, Rob Zombie was attached to a Blob remake.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. That's true.
Yeah, I remember.
Yes, he was.
That finally got axed.
Yes, he was.
Last year.
Thank God.
I just want you to know that, like, when Rob Zombie makes another movie someday, I'm gonna come up to you like that guy came up to Sam Loomis of this movie and be like, "You caused this. You made this happen."
There's one out now. There's Lords of Salem.
Yeah, you made that happen.
Did not.
But this time.
You are responsible for this.
Load the gun this time.
I think Rob Zombie should just get out of movies and stick to music. It's just not.
Or I think Rob
Zombie should
just
do what he knows. He's good at it. He makes a lot of money doing it. He's got a lot of fans, and he's just like, I'm a musician, but I can do music. I can do movies too. It's like,
well, at that point, why not? If
he needs help in crafting basic story structure. Like
maybe he doesn't write it. Maybe take somebody else's movie and does it.
He also needs a better editor.
I think, you know, if he's just making his own movies, like, you know, House of Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects, it's just like whatever. It's, you know, Rob Zombie, his style, his vision, whatever. But when he starts remaking Halloween,
That's true. Yeah. That's a point.
That's different.
If he just makes his own movie, like Lords of Salem, I'll rent that and I'll see it.
Yeah.
But he's just doing his own stuff. I haven't been fine with that. But I just don't. That's when he's remaking.
Stay out of my multiplex, Rob Zombie. Yeah, if you want to.
He's making his own little movies, it's fine. You know, as a musician making hour and a half long music videos, that's fine.
Yeah. So that brings another horrible Halloween.
Horrible.
That
was the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah. And.
Silver Shamrock.
Yeah, that's a fun one. We'll do our. We'll wrap up with our usual plugs. As always, you can. Be our friend on Facebook.
You can.
Yeah.
And we have an awesome new cover photo by Cody Wolf.
Fantastic new cover photo. And
he's got to take a picture of his two copies of Halloween 3 here.
Yeah, Andy Wolf owns two copies of Halloween 3.
Two copies?
Well, because I bought that one.
One is the anamorphic widescreen and the other is Letterboxd.
The collector's edition, which has a... Does this have that Tom Atkins is the man one? No.
That actually exists in your mind.
No, said not, that ever. That's Tom Atkins is the man.
No, that's not Night of the Creeps, I think.
What are you talking about, Tom Atkins?
They
you...
got a special feature on one of these.
Tom Atkins is the man.
Yeah.
who statutory rapes women?
I want that on a t-shirt.
That's also a running theme in John Carpenter, Tom Atkins movies, by the way.
Which means movies, plural.
So, yeah. Honestly, what does that version have that this one doesn't?
All the good stuff. Horror, hollow ground, locations.
We're now going over the special features. Halloween 3.
I'll tell you another.
I stand corrected. This original one has no special features.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So you're corrected. And you have to do it.
And if you like us on Facebook, we say this every week.
This is just an incredibly shitty DVD, and you got a less shitty DVD. That's what's going on here. Sorry.
If you like us on Facebook, we always say that the pictures and the screen grabs are the best. Jack's screen grabs from Spookies are...
That's an easy one.
Amazing. The one of the guy, if you listen to that episode, you know we talked about the guy flying through the door like Superman. Jack's screen grab of it made me laugh out loud for 30 seconds. So... be our friend on Facebook just to see that. And a lot of us here are on Twitter. Jack's on Twitter.
Yes, I am, at Jack Estabrook.
Cody at Wolf. Randy Wolf, was it? Your actual Twitter handle is Randy Andy Wolf, I believe. Yes. Is that right, Cody?
I think it is, right?
I thought the handle was Randy Like the Wolf.
Now, does that, something happen with it? Or I have to do something for something to actually happen to it with it.
There's nothing there. Can I go under now? There's like all kinds of messages. Do you understand how I haven't actually checked it in like three months.
So. Yeah, it might be something there.
There's so many layers to the question you just asked that I can't even peel them back. You can also follow the show at @WindUpFilms.
Sometimes you do things that make things happen, and other times,
well, I was wondering if I go
people
on.
People do things
there,
to you.
There might be something there.
There could be something.
I don't know.
Anyways, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, it's on the internet. Just check it. And two quick plugs. King Lee, our friend's King Lee movie, is now about to come out on DVD. If you're hearing this one, the day we released this episode, definitely want to see that. And Monster Mansion Memories, yes, available.
Still available.
Yeah, go to the Facebook page, Monster Mansion Memories.
Yep.
And you can get ordering information there. That'll do it for this week. We'll be back with another episode. Thanks. Bye.
Yay.